to learn Daf Samach Hei in Masechtas Ksubas. We are going to start from, I guess, technically the second to last line on the bottom of Samach Dalet Amud Beis. So the Mishnah on the top of Samach Dalet Amud Beis had gone through the various things that a husband is obligated to give his wife if the husband himself is not personally supporting her. He's not personally giving her, in other words, she's not eating and living with the husband. So therefore, we have to know what the obligation is that the husband has to give to her so that she can support herself. So we're going to start from a quote from the Mishnah. V'nois in law chatzi kav kitniyos. And the Mishnah says you have to give her a couple of beans, but it really is not so relevant exactly what we're quoting over here. The point is that he has to give her various foods. So the Gemara makes a deek. The ilu yayin loiketani. There's nothing in the Mishnah that ever mentions that he's giving her any amount of wine whatsoever. So, Messiah the Rebbe Lozer, the Amr Rebbe Lozer, this proves what Rebbe Lozer said. Now we're actually on the top of Samach Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Ein poiskin yenos leisha." We do not give wine to a woman. This is talking about, as Rashi explains, when the woman is living by herself, because the wine, as we know, loosens a person up and it could bring to the wrong thing. And remember, we're talking about where the husband and wife are not together. So they're not together. You don't want the wife to be all loose and happy. Vim toimar. And if she says, Elcha achre me'avai, noisin lachmei, Umeimei, if a woman says, I'm going to go to my loved ones, give me bread and water, vitzimri, upishti, and wool and flax for my clothing, shmenim, oil, ishkuye, and something to drink. So we see that the pasuk seems to indicate that she is getting wine, because one of the things that she can demand that she has a right to get is something to drink, which is must be wine, especially the Mefarshim point out, especially since she already said, Meimai is my water. So if we already have water, which is to drink, for her thirst purposes, it must be Shkuye means it must be the drink, which is referring to wine. So the Gemara says, no, that pasuk doesn't prove anything. Dvarim sha isha mishtai kekes alein. It doesn't mean drinking, it means shikui, as in a shuka. A shuka is something that a woman desires. That's mishtai kekes alein, that she really desires. Umaninu, and the Gemara explains, what are those things that she really desires? Tachshitin is jewelry and makeup and things like that to make her look beautiful. And the chiddush is that even though she's an almana, that's what the pasuk happens to be talking about, even though she's an almana and living by herself, she's allowed to say, I have a right to look good. Okay, anyway, so we see that the Gemara goes with this thought that we do not give a woman who's living by herself, again, even though she's married, but under the circumstances she's by herself, we do not give her wine. That's not the conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara then continues. Darish Rabbi Yehuda ish kfar nivirayo. That's his name. V'amri lo ish kfar nefur chayol. You come from this city. Minayin she'im poiskin yenis le'isha. So he says, how do we know that we don't give wine to just a woman herself? Shenemar. Because the pasuk says, v'atokom chano achrei ochlo b'shilo. That after Chana, this is the famous story with Chana came into the Beis HaMikdash and she was davening for eventually Shmuel HaNavi. So she came after she ate, va'achrei shasa, and after she drank, or after actually, or he drank. The Gemara makes a diik from that pasuk and says, shasa v'loy shasas, that only she drank, meaning actually only he drank. Shasa means it was drunk, referring to her husband. The loy shasas, and not that they both drink. So we see that over there also that it was typical for a woman to eat without drinking, over here specifically referring to wine. So we see another raya. We see another raya that women don't drink wine but when they're by themselves. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So you're making a diik by the fact that it says shasa and not shasas, which would have been plural. That's the way, at least one of the ways the Mefarshim learned that it's plural versus singular, that it must be referring to her husband. So then maybe you can make the same diik that achlo is referring singular, that only her husband ate and she didn't eat. And that's not true. Hachanami. Hachanami, so you're going to say, that's part of the question. Hachanami, over there also you're going to say that only her husband drank and ate and she didn't eat. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the point. Anan midashani kro bidibure ka amrinon. The fact that the pasuk changed the context, changed the verbiage, that's really what the proof over here is with regard to the wine. What, and the Gemara explains, michti. Let's see. Bigavo ka'osik. The pasuk is talking about her. It's talking about Chana, what she did and did not do. Ka'osik va'osi. It's right. It's talking about what she's doing and what she's coming. My time is shani. But why does the pasuk change from achla to shasa, as opposed to shasas, which would have been the correct grammar? Shmamina shasa v'loy shasas. So we see that there is a diak to be made based on the grammar. So that's why it's a real dig. In other words, it's not, you're right, shasa could also be read to mean just that she drank, but the fact is, if you were writing completely grammatically correct, you would have said shasas, that in the past that she drank. And by the fact that it didn't say that, therefore there is a dig to be made. Okay, so all of this, remember, this was just another pasuk to prove that women, when they're by themselves, it's not appropriate for them to be drinking wine. However, Meisve, I'll ask you a contradiction, because we see there are exceptions to the rule. Regila, if she is accustomed to drinking wine on a regular basis, Noisnin la, we do give her wine. Ah, so therefore that completely undermines and contradicts what we've been saying till now, because it just said that if she is used to getting wine, we will give her wine. So it's not a regular, flat-out rule that she never gets wine. So the Gemara says, you're right, Regila shani. And when she is accustomed to it and she's used to it, then we're okay with it. Because again, the problem is, as we know, and I'm sure we've heard and don't have personal experience, but the more you drink wine, the more you get used to it and the less it impacts you. So, now, of course, there's always, even people who drink wine regularly could drink too much. But if they're used to drinking a little bit of wine and then drink a little bit of wine, that's not going to have the negative effects that we're concerned about over here. So, in conclusion, the Gemara says, although this is not quite the Maskana yet, but in conclusion, the Gemara does agree that if she's accustomed to drinking wine on a regular basis, that it's okay for her to drink wine, even if her husband is not present. And how do we see this? The Amar Rav Chinana, Bar Kahana Omar Shmuel, the name of Shmuel, Regilo Noisim Lakois Echod. If she's used to drinking wine, then we do give her one cup. Now we're going to have to explain this, because then it says She'ein Regilo. If she's not used to drinking wine on a regular basis, Noisim Lashnekois, then we give her two cups of wine. Now this doesn't really make any sense whatsoever. Why would you give the not used to, when we're not accustomed to it, when we give more wine? So my commerce, so the Gemara itself obviously realizes this doesn't make sense. What does Shmuel mean with this statement? So we're going to explain them. First, we have different ways of explaining it. We're going to stick to the basic pshat. Omar Abayis, Abayi explains, Hochi ke Omar. What we mean to explain is like this. Regila bifnei balo, if she is used to drinking wine with her husband around, shnei kaisois, then it's okay to give her two cups of wine because she's used to it. Shaloi bifnei balo, Bifnei Bala, when she is with her husband, Shnei Koises, then we can give her two cups of wine. Shaloi Bifnei Bala, but when her husband is not there, Noisim Lo Kois Echod, then we can give her one cup. This is all talking about where she's used to drinking wine, so then it really depends the amount. In other words, we will definitely give her wine, but just the amount that we give depends on whether she's with or without her husband. However, Eina Regila, if she's not used to drinking wine, so then Bifnei Bala, when she's with her, Ela Kaisechot, will only give one cup. Shaloi Bifnei Bala, if she's not with her husband, Einoisin Lo, Kol Iker, then we won't give her anything. So that really would make sense, because she's not used to it, and there's no reason to give her wine now. Well, of course, we're not going to give her more. The problem with this pshat is that it doesn't really fit into the words so well. Abaye is really just explaining it the way we would want it to make sense. So, again, to put that back into the words is a little bit difficult, but that is how Abaye learns pshat. So, v'iba yisema, there's another pshat over here, which fits into the words a little bit better.
It's cryptic,
yeah, it's very cryptic. Right. You have to... V'iba yisema, a second pshat to read it is like this. Regila noisin lo letzike kedera. That we're not talking about the drinking wine that we assumed till now, which was that she's just drinking the wine along with her meal, and it's, you know, just for consumption. Rather, we are talking about for cooking purposes, that they used to use wine in their dishes, like vodka a la penny, right, or penny a la vodka type of thing. You know, of course we still do. People still do. But the point is that the wine that we're discussing here is not drinking wine. Wine that we're discussing is cooking wine. And now we can fit it into the words. There's a story like this. Maisa b'kalosa shel Nakdima ben Gurion. There was a story with the daughter-in-law of Nakdima ben Gurion. Shel posku lo chachomim sosayim yayin letzike kadeiro. That they gave her 2 saw worth of wine just for the purposes of cooking. Me'erev Shabbos, Le'erev Shabbos. That was her weekly allocation of how much wine she used to use. It's a lot. Yeah, just for the purposes of cooking. Amr Lahen, and her response was, Kach tifzaku livnoi seichem. This is what you should give to your daughters as well. Now she realized that was a lot of wine. And she was giving them a bracha. She was responding, thank you so much for giving me so much. You should be zeichet to give this amount of wine to your daughters as well. Now the Gemara answers with a very interesting thing. Tano Shemeres Yavam Hoysa. At that time, her husband had just died, and now she was waiting to do Yibum because her husband, her original husband, didn't have any children. V'loi Anu Achareha Amen, and Chazal did not answer Amen to her bracha. So there are different mafarshim over here and how to explain this Gemara. But the simple pshat is the direct words of the Gemara, which is, of course she was giving them a bracha. And they appreciated it. And they said, thank you very much. But we don't want to say amen, because since it's coming from a Shemeres Yavam, the amen would sound like, we want our daughters to be in this situation, a Shemeres Yavam, so that we could get this wine. And that's why they didn't want to say amen. But of course they realized that, you know, it would be great if they were able to give out, you know, 5 pounds of wine, gallons of wine a week. That would be nice. But they didn't want to say amen to the bracha simply because of who it was coming from. Again, different mafarshim explained it differently, but they all come to the same idea that since she was the Shemeres Yavam, they didn't want to say amen to the bracha. Okay, but to explain our context of Shmuel, so now we see that it is okay to give her wine even with her husband not there, because the one cup of wine that we're talking about is talking about with her husband. That's fine, she could drink, but the 2 cups of wine we're talking about are for the purposes of cooking. So it could be more even when her husband is not there. Now the Gemara continues on this whole concept. When is it okay to drink wine? Tana, kois echad yafa leisha. 1 cup of wine, that's good. It works well. Shnayim nivulhu. Once she drinks 2 wines, it becomes a little bit gross and disgusting. Shloisha toivas bepeh. Once she has 3 cups of wine, she's so loose, she's asking for to be with her husband. You know, as Rashi says, Tashmish, this is, as we know, the halacha is, generally speaking, a woman is not supposed to ask outright to be with her husband. So therefore, by three already, she loses it. Arba afilu chamar taivas b'shuk ve'ena makpedes. Even if a donkey, once she has 4 cups of wine, even if a donkey asks to be with her, she's okay with that. She's like totally lost. So there is a limit. The point of the Gemara saying, even with the husband, there's a limit of what's considered appropriate for a woman to drink. However, Amar Rav, loishanu, this whole business that we're talking about, the amount of wine she can or cannot drink, elo she'ein ba'ala ima. It's talking about where her husband is not there. So her husband's not there, so then, you know, she goes off the rails. Aval ba'ala ima leslan ba. But if her husband is there, then there's no issue, because whatever's going to happen is with her husband, so that's okay. Again, look up in the Hashkafas forum about what you're supposed to do. But in terms of halacha, the wine is not a problem. So the Gemara says, but that contradicts what we said before. V'hachana debala imahabe. Remember, we quoted a pasuk and we said that she did or didn't drink. And over there was talking about the whole diak was shasa, was that he did the drinking and she didn't do the drinking. That means if he's doing the drinking, that means he was there. He was present. So if he was there, so what's the problem? So the Gemara answers, very interesting, a very important halacha. Achsanoi shani. They were guests, because remember, they were oile regel. This whole story happened right before she went into the Beis HaMikdash. And she davened, and Eli was there and gave her a bracha that he should be zeichet to Shmuel HaNavi. Right? So this whole thing happened. They did not live in Yerushalayim. They were there as a guest. So as a guest, it's not appropriate to behave that way. Even with her husband, so here's another caveat. Even though with her husband, it's okay to do whatever you want to do, but not as company, not as a guest. Amar Rav Huna, Minai, right? The Gemara says it straight out. How do we know that a guest is not supposed to have tashmish shenemer? The pasuk says, "Vayeshkimu ba'boiker v'yishtachavu lifnei Hashem." that they woke up in the morning, they davened to Hashem, vayashuvu, and they went home, vayavo el beisam, and then they got to the house haramasa, vayeda Elkanah as Chana ishtoi, and that's when Elkanah for the first time was with Chana, only after they returned home. Vayizkara Hashem, and then Hashem remembered her, and that's when she became pregnant. But the point is, very clearly, the Pasuk Bari says that while they were away from home, the husband and wife did not do anything. Hashtain, as the Gemara itself says, Hashtain meikara loy. Okay? So we see that it's okay to be with your husband, but not as a guest. Now the Gemara continues with another story. Chaima devisisu da abaya, also the kame de rava. So Chaima was the wife of Abaya. Now at this point, Abaya had already been nifter, and she came to Rava to get the food that she needed. Her husband wasn't there. Amro le psoikli mizoini. Set up food for me. Sokla, pasakla. So he set up the arrangements for her food. Psoikli chamra. So she said, okay, now I need an installment of wine. Amarle, Yodana be benachmeni deloy haveshosi chamra. I know that Nachmeni, referring to Abaya, did not drink wine. So a couple things over here. First of all, you know, obviously Abaya and Rava knew each other very well. But the fact that he called him Nachmeni, so there's Rashi brings this in other places, but there are, Abaya's real name, according to most Mefarshim, was really Nachmeni. That was his name. But his Rebbe, or he was raised, as we all know, the Gemara tells us in other places, that Abaya's parents were Nifter when he was a baby. So he was raised by Rabba. Rabba's name was Rabba Bar Nachmeni.
Right.
So therefore, a Rabba didn't want to call him Nachmeni because that would be calling him by his father's name, and he didn't want to use his father's name, so he used to call him Avi. So even though we pronounce it Abaya, but that's the correct pronunciation is really Avi. I heard this from Rav Tzvi Koshelevsky Shlito. He told him, so in other words, this is well known that he was the same name, but Rav Tzvi added that Cheshbon is that we mispronounce the name. It's really Avi, my father. It's referring to Avi. So
that's where I'm missing something.
So we pronounce it Abaya, and everybody in the world pronounces it Abaya. I'm not here to convince you to pronounce it differently. But where it comes from is Avi. What he was really calling is Avi. You have the name of my father.
Okay.
So that's why again, for whatever reason, the pronunciation over the years and. The correct pronunciation is Abaya. Don't walk around saying Avi. Nobody will know what you're talking about. So that's where they came from. Now the other thing that's interesting over here is that Rava said, "I know that he didn't drink wine. So why? Why did Rava know?" So the answer is the Yavitz brings is because Abaya was a Kohen. As we know, both Abaya and Rava were from Beis Eli. They were Kohanim. And Abaya was always concerned that Mashiach was going to come, and they were going to build the Beis HaMikdash, and they were going to need somebody to do the Avoida right away, and a Shikur is not allowed to do Avoida. So Abaya never drank wine, so that he would never be Shikur, so that he could always do Avoida at any moment. That's how Rava knew that he never drank wine. Like, don't try to pull a fast one on me. I know Abaya. Abaya would never drink wine. So that's not never happened. Alright, anyway, so he said, I know for a fact that Abaya did not have wine. Amar le, chaye demar, davimashki yuli. He says, no, I swear, she said, I swear that he gave me wine. Bishofrozi ki hai. So in this type of cup, she showed him a very fancy cup, and she said, this is how he used to give me wine. However, the Gemara tells the story, when she was showing him the shape of the wine, igloi dara, her arms became revealed. She lifted her arms, and her sleeve went up, and he was able to see her hand. Nafo nehura bebeidina, some sort of light came on into the Bezdin, and she became very exquisite. She became very nice. Come, Rava, all the Beisai. So Rava immediately got up, went to his house, Tova Labas Rav Chista, and he asked Rav Chista to be with him, the daughter of Rav Chista. Now, Rava, as we know, this is many places in Shas, and this is one of them. Rava was married to Rav Chista's daughter. That was his wife. But she's always referred to as Bas Rav Chista. Anyway, so they lived together. Amro Loi, so she said to him, Bas Rav Chista, Amro Loi Bas Rav Chista, so Rav Chista said, Man Have Ha'idna Bebeidina, who was in court today? What was happening? She knew that this was unusual. Amro Loi, so he said to Chaima Devisuzu Da Abaya. The wife of Abaya came into court. Nofaka Basra, so Basra of Chista wasn't going to have it, wasn't going to take it. So she ran after her. Mochtele beklufi de shidoi, she hit her with the bottom of her shoe. Ada afkele mikula machuza, until she chased her completely out of town. She was like, you know, hitting her with a shoe. Amrallah, and she said to him, katal plech tlosa, you already killed three husbands. She had apparently been married to three husbands already. Va'osas lemikdala achrino, and now you're coming to kill somebody else. So of course we know the halacha is that after you're married to a woman who's married three times of their husband, so machlokes is whether it's two or three, right? Whether it's two or three times, create a chazaka, but certainly after three times, everybody would agree that she's considered a katlonis, and she's not allowed to get married to anybody else. Okay, so anyway, that's what Bas Rav Chista was saying to her, get out of here, I don't want to try, stop trying to induce, you know, to try to get somebody else. Oh, so now we're talking about the son of Yosef. The wife of Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rav, also lekame de Rav Nechemya, berei de Rav Yosef. He came in front, also the son of Rav Yosef. He asked him, Amrli psoikli mezoina. Again, she, same situation. She said, give me, set me up with food. Pasak law, he gave her the food. Psoikli chamra, he said, give me some wine. So pasak law, he gave her wine. Amar law, he said to her, Yadana Bahuba Bnei Mechuza, I know about the people who live in Mechuza, the Shasu Chamra. They drink wine. So this is consistent with the Gemara we saw before, that if they're used to drinking wine, then it's okay for them to drink wine even by themselves. Similarly, the Gemara says, if this is the Rabbi Yosef, Berei de Rav Menashe, Midvil, the wife of Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rav Menashe from Dvil, also the Kameh, the Rabbi Yosef, a different Rabbi Yosef, obviously, came to Rabbi Yosef, Amar law, Amrolay, and she said, Psoikli Mazani, give me food. Pasak law, he gave her food. Psoikli Chamra, give me wine. Pasak law, and he gave her wine also. Psoikli Shiroi, so now she was asking for more. She was saying, silk, I want pretty, very pretty clothing. Amrolay, Shiroi Loma, what do you need? What do you need this clothing for? Amrolay, so she said, L'cho, l'chavrcho, l'chavrurech, for you and your friends and your friends' friends. In other words, so there's also a machlekes over here in the Mefarshim, what exactly she was trying to say, but essentially she was saying, so I should look good, I want to get remarried. I want to look good. I want to, you know, so that's actually the machlekes over here. Is she just saying, stop, I want to look presentable so I shouldn't look bad? Okay, there's two levels over here. One is that I shouldn't be covetous, so I shouldn't have the negative. And the other is that she wanted to look good so that she could go out and present herself. Either way, that was considered an appropriate demand that she should look good. She doesn't have to look like a shmata just because her husband's not there. Now, so then the Gemara says one of the other things that you should give her is a bed and a cushion. Okay, so the Gemara says mapitz umachzeles lomalo. What does she need two things? Because the bed that we're understanding over here is the sort of like what I would refer to as the box spring, and then there's also a mattress on top of that. What does she need two for? Lomalu diavlo, what do you need two things for? Amar of Papa, Ba'asra de Nehigi, de Mola Purya, Bechavle de Mevagar law. So we're talking about a place where they used to fill the mattress with hay, okay? That, with what? With the Mola Purya, that they filled the bed, Bechavle, with ropes, sorry, with ropes. The Mavagrilo that makes her old. In other words, the thing is like this. You're right. If we put, until now we've been assuming that they used to have like a leather bed, okay, held by leather, which is a flat surface. And then the question was, so if you have a flat surface already, what do you need another mattress on top of that for? So the Gemara says that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about where they used to have the rope beds. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's very interesting. They used to have in the old days. I was once zeichet to see this in one of these like reenactment places, but I've actually seen what it looks like. It's like the beds are held. You know, we have slats that hold up the beds underneath it. But they used, or the older beds had slats. Yeah. But they used to have actually regular rope. Rope that went back and forth, and used to pull the rope to tighten it. Like after it got loose a little bit, you tightened the rope. So if you have rope, you can't just put hay on top of the rope. The hay would fall through. So that's why. That's why you need a mattress on top of the rope, because the mattress will create a flat surface for her to lie on top of it. So the Gemara says that it'll fall through. So that's why it wasn't just enough to give her a hay, the soft. It wasn't a matter of just being soft. It was a matter of, you can't sleep on a rope bed. That's not going to work. The Mavagir law, they explain that means that it's going to make her look old. It's going to make her, you know, it's not comfortable you're not going to be able to sleep well, or it's going to make dents on her, you know, it's going to make marks on her. So you need a
machzelis on top of that.
Exactly. So that's why you need a mappets and a machzelis. You need a hard mattress and then a soft mattress on top of that. That's why she needs both. Because, Enachanami, you're right. If we're talking about that it was a leather bed, then you already have the hard. You already have a hard, flat surface, so then you just need one thing on top of that. But if you have ropes, you can't just give her, you know, a hay bed, because it'll just fall through and she'll be sleeping on the ropes themselves. She's on the ropes. That's that might be where the expression comes from. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Einoson law karvikesis. You don't have to give her a pillow and a blanket. You do have to give her a blanket. Now, hey chidami, what's the case? Ida orche, if the norm is to have it, my time at the Tanakhama, then why would the Tanakhama says you don't give it? Vidalav orche, if it's not normal, so my time at the Reb Nosson, then why does Reb Nosson say you do need it? So the Gemara says, like tzricha going to orche didei, for him it's normal to have a blanket, vidalav orche dida, but it's not normal necessarily for her. So, now, we always know that the wife has a right to go to the better, and if he has it, she should have it. However, Tanakama Sovar, the Tanakama says like this, Amr lo, he says like this, Ki azilno shakilno lahu, when I'm away, let's say I'm going on a business trip, I'm going to take my pillow and blanket with me, V'chi yasina maisina lo bahadoi, when I come back, I will bring it back with me. In other words, when she is with him, she is entitled to the pillow and blanket as well, but she has to be with him. So when he goes, he takes the pillow and blanket with him, right?
I didn't understand.
It's his pillow and blanket. It's like, you know, excuse the famous expression, but it's my basketball. If I don't get to play, I don't get, you know, you guys, I'm taking my ball with me, right? That's what's going on over here. It's his.
They're together.
So when they're together, so then she gets the pillow and blanket because he's with her. But the moment, and that's what the Tanakhama means, that she doesn't get it. It's not pshat that she doesn't get it when he's with her. Pshat is that when he's with her, of course she gets it. But when the moment he goes, he takes it with him because he needs it. Uh-huh. She's not used to it. She's not accustomed to it. She's okay with sleeping on the floor. That's normal for her. She's whatever. That's how she grew up. She can handle without it. So therefore, he has the right to take. He doesn't have to give it to her when she's not there. However, Rav Nosson Sover. So what's the machlekes? Rav Nosson holds Amrele Zimnin de Misrami Ben Ashmashos. The problem is that sometimes you'll show up very late. V'loy Motzes Maisi Lo, and you're not going to have enough time to remember to bring the pillow and blanket. V'shakal to Luhu L'Didi, and then you're going to take my little pillow and blanket. Magnis Li Al Aron, you're going to make me sleep on the floor. So she has like a little pillow and blanket. She doesn't have the fancy version of it. She's going to have whatever, a little bump that she uses. But the problem is he's going to show up really late, and he's going to say, well, I'm not sleeping on the floor. One of us has to sleep on the floor. So he's going to relegate her to the floor. And that, she doesn't have the right, he doesn't have a right to do that. So since he doesn't have a right to do that, she has to keep the pillow and the blanket with her all the time. And that way, when he shows up, he'll get it. He'll get to use it also, so they're never in a situation where only he has it and she doesn't have it. Again, these are very, so to speak, very low standards. This is not something that we are accustomed to. But we see that she can't be left. The point is like this. They both agree that she can't be left with nothing. The question is, if she doesn't need it, and the husband can't put her in a situation where she has less than nothing. So she has to have something. So the Rav Nosson is concerned that he'll show up and he'll take even what she, her minimum that she has. And then she's going to be left with nothing, so therefore she has to remain, therefore she has to get it all along. Okay. The Gemara then continues, V'nosin lo kippa, he gives her a head covering. Amalei Rav Papa la'abaya. So Rav Papa said to Abaya, now on the top of Samachayim Abayis, Haytana shaliach artoloi v'rami misanoi. That this Tana is basically throwing away his clothing and giving her shoes. Because if you look at what he has to give her one set of clothing for the whole year, but shoes he has to give every moed, from moed to moed, which means three times a year he has to give her new shoes. So like, we're not worried about the fact that she has nothing to wear, but shoes she has to have. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So Amar Le, Tana b'mokaim horim koi. The Tana is talking about in a situation where they're in a very rocky, mountainous area. That's not enough without three pairs of shoes a year. Basically, if you live in a very rocky, rough neighborhood, you're going to go through your shoes quickly. So that, it wasn't, the emphasis really wasn't to give her less clothing. The emphasis was you're going to have to give her extra shoes so that she can get through the terrain. The Agav Urcha Kamash Malons, but once we're mentioning that he's giving her shoes throughout the year, Dinas Vinu Nihila B'moyed, you might as well give, if you're going to give three pairs of shoes a year anyway, you might as well do that on Yontif, Kiech Dinahavale Simcha B'Gavayu, so that she can enjoy it. Okay. Yeah, if you're going to, in other words, we're giving an extra practical advice. You're going to buy the shoes anyway, you might as well do it, you might as well buy them for Yontif.
The next 2 years, we discussed about giving your wife a minimal amount of
right.
clothing.
The Kalim Shal Chamishim Zuz. Now you have to give a minimum of 50 Zuz worth of clothing. Now, a Zuz is a large coin. So Amar Abaya Chamishim Zuz Pshiti. We're talking about the simple Zuz. Apparently, there were two coins that had similar names, but the Pshiti are worth, as Rashi says, 1/8 of the value of a regular Zuz, which is obviously a large percentage less. So it's a much smaller amount. Mimai. What's the raya that we're talking about the small amount and not the big amount? The end of the Mishnah says all these things that the amounts that we're talking about is ba'ani shebi Yisrael, is the poorest person who has no real means. But when you're dealing with the borchash of a person, everything should be in accordance with what they're used to. If we're talking about the large coin, you know, the larger a value, where would a poor person have $50,000 or whatever this number really means? So it must mean the smaller, even though they both use the word zuzi, but there are two coins that have that same, the bigger number and the smaller number, so you know that it must be referring to the smaller number over here. Then it says, the Mishnah finishes off, that he doesn't give her the new clothing in the summertime when it's too hot and heavy and she can't really use it. Okay, but that's not, the Gemara is now focusing on the general concept over here. Tana Rabbanan, Meiser Mizoinos Lebal. So let's say he gives her the amount of food that's required and she doesn't need all that food. He gives her all these fancy things and she doesn't need it. So the extra, the remainder, the balance, goes back to the husband. Meiser Belois Leisha. However, if he does give her clothing that she doesn't need or the extra clothing, she still gets to keep that. So the Gemara says, Meiser Belois. So what does she need the extra clothing for? She's not. It's extra. So Amar Rechava Shemischasa Behem Bimei Nidasa. She'll use the extra worn out clothing, the Nakashmaka stuff, when she is a Nida and anyway not with her husband. Kedei Shaloi Tiskana Al Bala, so that she's not disgusting to her husband. So this is a very interesting phrase. It actually fits into our parsha very well. So it means that she shouldn't become disgusting, meaning that when she's with her husband, she shouldn't end up wearing the same iwi clothing that when she's not with her husband. So we bedafka give her the clothing that she could put on when she's separate, when she's a nida, and she wears those, that's what she uses the belois for. She uses the worn out rags when she's not with her husband, so that when she's with her husband, she wears the fancy stuff. And that way the husband, because otherwise if she wore the fancy stuff when she was a nida also, the husband will view that as the not nice stuff. He'll view that as the clothing that she's not,
standard.
The not good clothing. So therefore she has to have a special outfit, or different outfits for when she's with him and when she's not with him. Amar Abaya, Naktinan, Moisir Beloiz, Almana Liyarshav. So if the whole reason is that the whole reason why she has two separate clothing is so that she looks good for the husband, so by an almana, she doesn't have that. She doesn't have to look necessarily like a separate, she's not trying to impress anybody. So therefore her extra, she doesn't need a separate set of clothing, so that extra clothing goes back to the Yarshim. Because the whole reason was for the husband, we want her to look good. Over here, so she doesn't look good. Who cares? We're not trying to, the Yisraimim don't need her to look fancy, so therefore she could wear the same clothing all around. By the way, then the husband has to give her a little bit extra for her to spend on her own. But here we're talking about Oh, so then it says, and then actually the Gemara really is going on the next line of the Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah says that the wife eats with her husband Friday night. All these shiurim that we were giving were all between what she needed during the weekday. But Shabbos, anyway, she was with her husband, it's a different cheshbon. However, the Gemara says, Mayachelis, what does that mean that she eats with her husband? So Rav Nachman Omer Eicheles Mam, which refers to the fact that they eat together Friday night. They eat together. Rav Ashi Omer Tashmish. It doesn't. It's referring to Tashmish. The eating over here is referring to Tashmish. Tanan Eicheles Imay Lele Shabbos. It says that she eats with him Friday night. So Mishlam Elamandi Omer Achila Hanegutani Eicheles. So again, we understand the word Eicheles means eating. Elamandi Omer Tashmish. But if the word Eicheles means Tashmish, my Eicheles. Why do we use the word eating? So the Gemara answers, Lishna Ma'alyo. That's just a nice way to say it, that we don't want to be so, you know, blunt. So we just say eating, and we all know what that means. Kedachsiv, because the Pasuk says, Achla, she eats, Umachta Pia, and she wipes her face, wipes her mouth, Va'amr Loi Pa'alti Oven, and I didn't do anything wrong. And this is talking about, by the way, this Pasuk is talking about someone who's Mazana. She was Mazana. And we're talking about that she wipes her mouth, so obviously we know that this is just a nicer way of saying what she really is referring to. Okay. Anyway, so we see that eating over here means that could mean tashmish. Meisvei, Rav Shimon Gamliel loymer. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Eicheles belele Shabbos v'Shabbos, that she eats with him Friday night and during the day. So now, Bishlam the Mandi Amar Achila, if it means literally eating Hanedik Tanish the Shabbos, then it makes sense during the day also. On Shabbos, she's with her husband. El Mandi Amar Tashmish, Tashmish for Shabbos Miiko. But if we're talking about Tashmish, what are we talking about during the day? What kind of Tashmish are we talking about? V'Amar Avuna Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, Ve'em Hashem Shem Itasim B'Yoim. They don't do this during the day where it's light outside. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabba B'Bayis Ofel Mutter. If there's a dark house where you can't see, so then it's going to be Mutter. So the answer is very interestingly, then Anachanami, according to this, it could mean during the day also. So it means twice, Friday night and during the day, and as long as it's a dark room, it's okay. Bimhoisim Aniko, and then the Mishnah finishes off and says, if she's nursing, the husband has to give her more food. Darish Rabbi Lo, Rabbo Apischa de Benesi, Rabbi Lo, Rabbo, that's a different Ulo. So he was at the house of the Nasi. Abavisha Amar Ein Adam Zon Es Banov Benoisov. Even though it's not a father's obligation to support his children when they're younger, even when they're little kids, but when they're very, very little, that they can't really take care of themselves, of course the husband is obligated to take care of them. Ad kama, so when is the obligation, the absolute chiyuv that a father must take care of his children, ad ben sheish, until they're 6 years old, the father must support. Above them, above that age, a father is technically off the hook and able to say, support yourself. Kedarav Yaasi, that as Rav Ashi taught us, Amar Rav Ashi, Koton ben Sheish Yoytze Be'eriv Imoy. A boy who's a little boy is Yoytze with his mother's Eriv. What does that mean? That means until 6 years old, the child relies on the mother. So if the mother sets up her, this is talking about Eriv Tchumim, that if you put an Eriv in a certain direction, that's considered where you are. So if the mother puts an Eriv in a certain direction, the child is considered in that place as well. So we see that until that age, the child is completely reliant on the mother, and therefore the father has to support him. And how do we know it's an absolute, that there is an obligation? Because it says that if she's nursing, she can work less, but the husband has to give her more money. So we see that the husband has to support her and the child. Because the child has to eat with her. So the husband has an obligation to give the wife more money to feed not only herself, but to feed the child also. So we see a father has an obligation to feed the young children. Maybe the reason why he's giving her more is because she needs to eat more. It's not for the child's sake, it's for her sake because she's not feeling well. So imkain, listening im hoisachayla. So then say, because that she's sick. So the Gemara says, mayim hoisamanika. Why does the Mishnah use the word that she's nursing? And nursing, by the way, in this context, according to the way the Gemara is understanding, it doesn't mean literally nursing, breastfeeding. It could mean that they're feeding, they're taking care, and the nursing their child means even when they're a little bit older and she's feeding, taking care of, right, like a nurse. A nurse takes care of a child, so the nurse is nursing the child. V'dilma, hakamash malon, maybe the point of the Mishnah is, d'stam ay nekas choyle ninu, that every woman, while they're nursing, they're considered on the level of a choyle. So therefore, we don't have a raya necessarily from our Mishnah that this is what it means. Itmar, however, we learned on Rabbi Yishu ben Levi, Rishu ben Levi says, Maisivin lo yayin, shayayin yafal l'cholav. He said, no, that we have to give her wine also, because wine actually comes out in a good way, that it's good for producing milk. So once again, you see the Gemara goes back and says, you're right, we cannot be, it's not an absolute diuk or a raya from the Mishnah. However, we see that we do understand the Mishnah that the husband has to give her more because she's also supporting, she is supporting the baby, and we see that, so therefore a husband has to support young children as well. Hajjan aloch, afal pi, that's the end that we ended, Baruch Hashem, the whole fifth parak. Let's start the sixth parak now, which by the way is just as an interesting aside. The sixth parak is known as Matzias Ha'isha, where that what a woman finds he has to give to her husband, happens to be, just so that you know, that Machlekes Tosfos brings, it's Machlekes Rashi Tosfos, whether this is supposed to be the next parak. So the Rashi, the next, the parak Hamadir, which is the seventh parak, is according to Tosfos really supposed to be the sixth parak. Tosfos flips the order of the fifth, of the sixth parak and the seventh parak. Okay, there is a nafka mina, but just so that you know, the way we have it in our shas is flipped around. Metzias Ha'isha. So let's see what the Mishnah actually says. Metzias Ha'isha. If whatever a woman finds on the street, some extra money or things, whatever she earns, labala, that all goes to her husband. Virushasa. So again, the girsa we have in our Mishnah, Rashi himself actually brings a second girsa, but the girsa that we have over here is, if she, Yerushasa means, if she yarshin something in the middle of the marriage, that money goes to the husband. However, the money itself, the Yerusha itself, hu oichel peiros b'chayeha. He only gets the profits. Meaning, let's keep it very simple. She yarshins a building, right? Her father was a real estate developer, and he had some buildings or something. Again, just to keep a simple mashal, so we can understand it. She yarshins that. That building, the land itself, belongs to her, and it does not go to the husband, at least while she's alive. When she dies, he yarshins her anyway. But while she's alive, it belongs to her. But he gets to eat the payers. So therefore, the rent, that the income that house produces, that goes to the husband. Okay, that's Rashi's main girsa. There is a second girsa over here. Yivi Yersha is talking about that he yarshins her. But that's we're going to stick with the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Boishto begama shalom, and the chiddush over here is, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, that when if somebody hurts her and she has boishto begam, she goes down in value and she's embarrassed, she gets to keep that. However, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiro Omer bezman shebeseiser, it depends. If it's something that you don't see, let's say he hurt her in a place that you can't see, shnei chalakim lo shnei chalakim, she gets 2/3 of it. V'lo yachad, he only gets one, because really it affects her more than it affects him. Ubezman shebegalu. But if it's in a place where he could see it on her face, let's say, then he gets the 2 portions, and she gets 1. Okay, because now it affects him also. He's the one who has to put up with the fact that she has, in our example, a scar across her face. So again, his money he gets to take right away. Once again, the money that goes to her, what does that mean it goes to her? She buys field property, and he gets to eat the pears. So that, in other words, it's her money, officially belongs to her, but again, any income that is earned from that field, the husband gets to keep. Okay, so we see the basics of the Mishnah is that certain things, while they're married, that she gets, have to go to the husband. So the Gemara says, "My kamash malon tanina." We already learned to Avzak. We know this concept that the husband gets whatever his wife brings into the marriage, because it says, "Avzak abebitoy." This is first of all, this is talking about that a father gets from his daughter bekedusheha when he's mekadosher bekesu b'shtar rabia, no matter how he's mekadosher. Zak abemitziyoso. Oh, that's our case that the father gets her mitziyos b'maisi yodel. And whatever she earns, and also by faras nedareha, that the father is able to make her to undo her nedarim. Now, mekabel eskita, and also the father gets to take her get so that she can be divorced. But the father doesn't get to eat the pears. What belongs to her literally belongs to her. If she has any property. However, Nisei, this is the point that's relevant to us, if she gets married, yes or alav habal, the husband gets more, meaning everything we discussed, the husband gets, plus shehu aichol peres b'chayel, that if she has property that does belong to her, that the husband does eat the peres. So we see that that all these halachas are already discussed, that the husband gets everything, including the peres. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Boishto begamo itzruch lay. We need to tell us the chiddush that the boishto begam goes to her, and also plugged to the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir v'Rabbanon. We're going to stop over here. And to tell us also the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir and the Rabbanon about whether she gets it entirely, the boishto begam, or she only gets the third, two thirds, depending on whether it's directly, you know, whether it's visible or not visible. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Mirtz Hashem. We will pick up right on this bottom line next time.